Seekers, Mike Malloy here. What a weekend, huh? What do you think of this? All these little excerpts coming out of the new book, Game Change. Oh my God, that's one I'm going to have to get. Just for the geek and freak factor. That's all this stuff about Edwards. What was her name? Elizabeth Edwards and her meltdowns, and Cindy McCain and her craziness, and John McCain and his craziness, and Bill Clinton, and what an absolute collection of dunces! Got to get this book. Gonna have to get this book. Sarah Palin convinced that God told her to run, and then Joe Lieberman shows up and convinces her even further. Son of a bitch! We really live in a madhouse. But once again, white people in general, mostly Republicans, are just making fools of themselves all over again with this thing about Harry Reid and Barack Obama. I just imagine that this has been great entertainment for black folk to sit back and watch white people, Republicans, and some Democrats just absolutely turn themselves inside out like a bunch of damn clowns. Black folk are just howling and hooting, and this thing with Harry Reid and Barack Obama. Black people were like, what? What's the big issue? And then the Republicans, of course, being the punks that they are, the Republicans jumping all over this, trying to compare this to what Trent Lott said when he had that corpse next to him, that shriveled up piece of human flesh from South Carolina. Oh, what was his name? Strom Thurmond, the one that, honest to God, when Strom Thurmond made that statement with, Trent Lott made that statement when he was a House or Senate leader. And Trent Lott was up at a podium, and they were given this corpse, this award. And the corpse was sitting there. The corpse had an earpiece, and he had this funky hair sticking out of his head that had been dyed red. And he looked like a dead rat. It looked like a – Strom Thurmond looked like a huge rat that had been dead for months. But he was white. At one time, he was white. When this whole scene took place, he was kind of mottled, if you know what I mean. But Trent Lott's down there looking down at this corpse saying, well, you know, Strom, if you would have been elected president back in 1948, could have avoided all this mess, you know, talking about black folk being mess, right? And everybody pretty much, white people didn't get it, some of us whites got it. But most whites didn't have a clue about what the subtext of all that was, especially when it turned out that Strom Thurmond had been having sex when he was a young stud with his family's housekeeper and had a daughter, and I mean, this whole thing is just, it's screwy. It's absolutely insane. Well, the Republicans are trying to say that the Trent Lott corpse thing was like what Harry Reid and Barack Obama are talking about. You know, and Barack Obama, when he was interviewed today, he told the interviewer, I forget who the guy is. It was for TV One, I think. But he more or less said, why don't you people lighten up a little bit? In the first place, the color spectrum within the black community is something that 99.9% of white people don't have a clue about. It's very real. It exists. It's just there. Conscious black folk work against that because see, that's a white imposed thing. That's the thing that's ridiculous. It's a white imposed thing. It's the one drop rule. You see, if you have one drop of African blood, you are an African American. If you have two drops, then you're not quite as good as the man or woman has one drop by white standards. You see, by white standards. So white people did this, and then they get all freaky and weird when Harry Reid says something like, well, he doesn't talk Negro unless he wants to. Well, no kidding. I mean, what's the big revelation about that? See, that's the thing. That's the thing. I've been trying to educate white people for a long time, and it's hopeless. Those are the only folks I try to educate. You know, I've said before, don't come to this program if you're looking for education or insight or, you know, nothing. This is just a little campfire meeting. But I've been trying to tell white people for a long time, black folks know more about you than you will ever know about them. They've got you figured out. Jack and Jill, they got you all figured out. They know everything. They know what your poop smells like because they've been cleaning it up for, you know, 20 generations over here. But, I'm getting all lost here. White people don't get it about black folk. Black folk understand exactly what Harry Reid meant. That's why you haven't heard anybody. You know, Harry Reid immediately gets on the phone. He calls Reverend Al Sharpton. You know, he calls all the standard black folk. You know, the ones that say, wait a goddamn minute. Wait a minute. You know, Harry Reid gets on the phone and starts calling people. I really didn't mean anything. You know, and the people he's calling are going, damn. Okay. And they let Harry talk. Because that's one thing, part of getting over with black folks is let white people just go ahead and wrap the rope. I'm sorry to use this analogy. Wrap the rope around the white folks' neck as much as they want to. And white people will do it every time, especially political white people. When they think they've said something like, whoa, I've been found out. I got to run to the black leadership. So, you know, who they go to? They go to Clyburn. They go to, Al Sharpton. They used to go to Jesse, but they gave up on Jesse. But what Reid said is absolutely true. Why do you think Jesse Jackson had less of a chance to be president than Barack Obama? 3, 2, 1. That's right. Because Jesse talks like a black man. And white people can't handle that. And white people don't understand that there's two levels that black folks communicate in. Or maybe three. I don't know. I'm not trying to come across like some expert. I know there's some black woman out there now who writes for like the Black Avenger or something going, God damn, there he goes again. I'm going to have to write about this white sucker one more time, trying to talk about he knows us. You know, all right, whatever. But I know you more than white people. Other white people know you. So to me, when this whole thing broke up, this is all I'm trying to get to, and this whole thing broke, but Harry Reid just jumping on his bicycle and backpedaling like a fool, man, trying to erase. Wait, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean he's light-skinned. Yes, you did. I didn't mean he doesn't talk Negro. Yes, you did. But it's okay, fool. It's okay. Just shut up. Sit down. Man, damn. So there goes white people doing it again, especially white Republicans. But you know, white Republicans demanded an apology saying, well, you know, Harry Reid ought to resign. Why? Well, because when Trent Lott said something, he had to resign. Well, fool, Trent Lott was talking to the corpse, and the corpse was sitting there wiggling in his wheelchair with a thing in his ear going, and what Trent Lott was talking about was the corpse should have been president because the corpse would have just beat black folk into a corner. See, Republicans don't understand the difference, though. All they see is they smell something that smells like race. What's that I smell? Ooh, that's race, man. Grab it quick. And that's what they do. If it smells like race, white people, white politicians, Republicans, they'll grab it and they'll trot out like a dog and jump up on your lap or get up in your face, holding that bone up in your face, that race bone going, here, look what I found, look what I found, look what I found, look what I found. You know, wagging their old dumbass tails and jumping around, their ears flopping. I'm telling you, it's almost funny. No, it is funny. It is funny. Harry Reid saying, well, he doesn't talk Negro unless he wants to. Really? Well, I'll be damned. Gun control.
I've got all my guns under my control. I don't need security. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jacket, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way.
Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. It's just funny to watch white folks just, trip all over their tongues when they think they've been caught saying something either racist, which is what poor old Trent Lott was all about, and the corpse, the animated corpse. God, I saw him again today, Strom Thurmond, from that video from, 4 or 5 years ago. Good God in heaven. I mean, really, that man, Strom Thurmond, he was dead long before he was dead. He was just an absolute corpse sitting there. It was just scary. Scary. Who fed that thing? Oh, Lord. But, When you hear the real racist stuff, you know, like Trent Lott said, and then white people who are trying to be nice white folks. Now remember, Harry Reid's a Mormon, and black folk only got to full human status here within the past, 20, 30, 40 years. So, you know, Harry has got to be cut some slack. I think his heart's in the right place, in his chest. Whereas somebody like Trent Lott, his heart's in his ass. But, Harry Reid is just trying to say, well, I thought he had a good chance because he went all, dark and everything. Because, dark ain't going to make it. You can't have nappy hair. But Brock has nappy hair. Yeah, but he keeps it cut short. Oh, okay. All right. Well, That whole race thing, see, I've said it before in this program, you're never going to get over the race thing. Never, never, never. But it does, it causes, or provides, not causes, provides me with an awful lot of humor. I love to watch white people dance around like a drop of water on a hot pancake griddle when something like this comes up. It is just funny to watch, that's all. Especially those dumbass Republicans. Well, Harry Reid's got to resign. He's a racist. What? That's coming out of the mouth of a Republican? Ah, damn. Woo-hoo. So Harry Reid says that Obama was chosen because he was a light-skinned black and didn't talk Negro. And Sarah Palin, in this book, Game Change, was chosen to run for vice president by God. What happened to God? Did God, I don't know, he get busy with something else and let her lose? Or is Barack Obama more powerful than God? Apparently Barack Obama is more powerful than God. Because, ask a football player about that. But Barack Obama stomped God's ass, apparently, because God said, Sarah, I want you to be the vice president. That's according to Sarah. And, Obama and Biden just went, okay, let's go win the election. So, I don't know. Either God took a closer look and decided Palin was a loser, or Barack stomped his ass. I mean, it's something when you stomp a deity's ass. You understand what I'm saying? That is big time. That is big time. So, all right, way to go, Brock. What else is in this book? I got to read this book. I know we don't do gossip on this program, but we are now, huh? I like what Representative James Clyburn, the Democrat of South Carolina, who has risen to black people spokesperson because of his position in the Congress. And Clyburn came to Reid's defense Saturday, right after the senator issued that statement apologizing for the remark he made in the book. Clyburn said, "This is in no way analogous to the Trent Lott situation." Oh, really? That's what it is, right? That's what it is. It's not analogous. Analogous. A little boom, boom. And Steele, Michael Steele, Republican National Chairman, right? He said on Fox, he said, what did he say? He said, here it is. No, he was on Meet the Press on NBC. And along with John Kyle, Republican of Arizona, and John Cornyn, Republican of Texas. These two white guys and Michael Steele, who is really lost in the wilderness, they're all on NBC, Meet the Press, to bust up on poor old Reid. And Steele said, quote, "What's interesting here is when Democrats get caught saying racist things..." What did he say that was racist? "When Democrats get caught saying racist things, an apology is enough. If that had been Mitch McConnell saying that about an African-American candidate for president of the United States, Democrats would be screaming for his head, very much as they were with Trent Lott." But you see, as President Obama said today, Harry Reid was trying to be complimentary in the only way that he, Harry Reid, a white Mormon from Nevada, how many black people in Nevada? The only way he knew how to do it. He would just try to say, "Yeah, well, you know, he's light skinned. Harry Reid understands the racial reality in this country that his race helped create. Harry Reid understands that, see, on some level, and he doesn't talk Negro unless he wants to."
Widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all...
Hey, Truth Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. So the Republican white people bedwetters are you know, they're trying to turn this into, you know, they don't want to miss a thing here where it concerns anything that smells like racist comment to people that... put together the so-called Nixon strategy, Southern strategy, I should say, and of course the Dixiecrat Party and yada, yada, yada. These people are the ones running around right now saying that Harry Reid's comment was similar to Trent Lott. Trent Lott, of course, when he had the corpse sitting next to him, the Strom Thurmond corpse, and the old nasty, stanky man was sitting there, dead for years, but still animated, and Trent Lott looked down at him. And, I expected Trent to get out a handkerchief that had some of that stuff that, you put under your nose when you're going to do an autopsy to keep the stink away. It was just terrible. Or Vicks Vaporub or something. But he looked down at Strom's corpse, and he said, "I wanted to say this about my state." His state being Mississippi. He said, "I want to say this about my state. When Strom Thurmond ran for president, we voted for him. We're proud of it. And if the rest of the country had followed our lead, we wouldn't have had all these problems over all these years either." Now that's a racist statement. That is a racist. That borders on a genocidal statement. But that's what Republicans do. You see? You stinky bastard. It's just, oh my God. Lanny Guinier, the Harvard Law School professor whose nomination as Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights in 1993 was just absolutely beaten to death by white people. And eventually Bill Clinton withdrew her name. Remember that? She said the two statements are not the least comparable. Lanny Guinier said Lott's remarks seem to be expressing nostalgia for the segregationist platform of Strom Thurmond's 1948 presidential campaign. Well, duh. While Mr. Reed's comments seem to be addressing an unfortunate truth about the present. So, and again, keep in mind, this is the thing that always tickles me. It's white people who made the decision as to what was going to be acceptable skin color in this country. And the degree to which the skin color could vary would be the degree to which the person with the drop of African blood could be accepted. It's an old trick, and it's one that a racist society always uses. Oh, well, it just cracks me up. Sarah Palin, some statements in there by Sarah Palin about God chose her. And what else? There's some stuff in there about Hillary Clinton. According to the book, in 2006, advisors to the Clintons tried to come up with a strategy to deal with any public disclosure of an affair that a trio of Mrs. Clinton's closest advisors concluded the former president was conducting. Boy, Willie can't keep it zipped up, can he? Huh? Oh, Willie just keeps getting him in trouble, doesn't it? The authors do not provide any evidence to offer specifics to back up the account, but they characterize it as a, quote, sustained romantic relationship, end quote. A spokesman for Mr. Clinton declined to comment about the book. It just goes on and on and on. Less than 6 weeks before Election Day, advisors to Ms. Palin alerted the McCain headquarters over concerns of Ms. Palin's well-being. They said she was not eating properly. She was depressed, not participating in debate practices. Mr. McCain suggested moving the debate sessions from Philadelphia to Sedona, Arizona, and fly her family in. Some of the McCain camp were convinced that Sarah Palin was insane, was just clinically insane. And, of course, McCain was stuck at that point. What's he going to do? He certainly wasn't going to do what was done back in, who was it? Was it McGovern who dropped the representative from, oh, geez, it's too long ago, never mind. When it was determined that the guy he had picked to be his running mate had electroconvulsive therapy. It just goes on and on and on. But anybody who thinks that Harry Reid was being a racist is a chump, is a fool, and I think everybody knows that. He might have been acting. And as Irish Dave wrote in just a minute ago, you know, don't forget, Harry Reid, I guess Harry Reid's a convert to Mormonism. It wasn't all that long ago the black folk in the Mormon faith still had the mark of Ham. Right? The curse. Or was it the mark of Cain? I don't know. So, it's just funny stuff. Also, the authors of Game Change write that one of Ms. Clinton's senior most lieutenants watched her, quote, bitter and befuddled reaction, end quote, to her loss in Iowa. And senior aide to Clinton at that time thought, quote, this woman shouldn't be president, end quote. The authors also write that during debate prep, some staff members assigned to Sarah Palin by the McCain campaign discussed the, quote, threatening possibility that Palin was mentally unstable, end quote. Oh, my God. They add that several of Senator McCain's lieutenants agreed that if it looked as if their candidate might actually win in November, They would have to discuss how to relegate Sarah Palin, quote, to the largely ceremonial role that pre-modern vice presidents inhabited, end quote. They added, quote, it was inconceivable that if McCain fell ill or died, the country would be left in the hands of a President Palin, end quote. Oh, my God. If you had any doubts about Clinton being a Republican light, the authors also say that from that George Bush, George W. Bush, when he was president destroying the country, spoke more often than almost anyone knew with Bill Clinton. And they said that, quote, from time to time, when Bush was bored, he would call Clinton to chew the fat. And all I've got are the quotes that everybody has access to. I can't wait to read the book. In a fascinating account, it says here, about Ms. Clinton's initial decision to decline the post of Secretary of State, the authors paraphrase a conversation between the two former rivals, Clinton and Obama, which they contend Mrs. Clinton brought up the bill issue. She said to Obama, quote, you know my husband. You've seen what happens. We're going to be explaining something that he did or that he said every other day. You know I can't control him, and at some point he'll be a problem. End quote. Oh, God. Oh, and then the authors write that the strategist John Weaver suspected the rumor, one of McCain's strategists, suspected the rumor Cindy McCain had a long-term boyfriend in Arizona was rooted in truth, and that the McCains fought in front of others during small meetings and before large events to the amazement and discontent of the staff. The authors say that Cindy McCain accused Senator McCain of ruining her life, and that when it came time to film campaign videos of the couple, the camera crews had to roll for hours to capture a few minutes of human warmth. As for John and Elizabeth Edwards, the authors are even harsher. They describe in detail John Edwards' infatuation with, Raelle Hunter, who apparently had a kid with, and they describe her behavior as freaky, wildly inappropriate, and all too visible. They write that he continued to nurse delusional hopes of being named attorney general in an Obama administration, even after the photograph appeared in the tabloid press of Edwards holding Mrs. Hunter's new baby. They said Elizabeth Edwards very often was sobbing, out of control, incoherent, vented her fury on the aides who had kept the matter from mushrooming further. At one point in an airport, Elizabeth ripped off her blouse and her bra and thrust her boobs out and started screaming, look at me, look at me, you know, in a public airport. I mean, this is our political class. Do you understand this? We have crazy people running for president. I mean, clinically, just definably nuts. And then we have a media class that is fascist. With that combination, where's the hope? Well, it's all going to be okay, though, because Sarah Palin is going to take a job at Fox News. That's going to be so easy. Anyone who wants to bring an end to all this nonsense, all these people that are clustering over at Fox News, just walk by, pull the pin, roll the grenade into the hall, and stand back. Get them all at once, right?
Kaboom.
Kaboom! And goddamn Lloyd's talking about murdering everybody. Did you hear that song, bitch, last night? Ow!
We'll be right back.
for a liberal helping of truth? It's More Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. I want to help. I want to help. I want to thank. There's a right wing blog site. What is it? They have been generous enough to give me two awards this year. You put it at our Twitter or a what is it? What is it? Our Twitter page? Okay, what do I tell them? Follow us. I don't know this stuff. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Follow us. Follow us where?
On Twitter.
Okay. Well, anyway, one of these rags. I got two awards for 2009. I've been named the. Let's see, what is it? What have I won, Kathy? The worst comment of 2009 by a liberal. And I mean, I beat out some pretty big names, man. I'm telling you, some really, really big names. And then I came in 11th in, the worst, quote. Wait, the most obnoxious quote. Here it is. All right. The most obnoxious quote of 2009. That's where I came in first. And what's this website? Rightwingnews.com. Yeah, okay, rightwingnews.com. But I beat out Joy Behar. I beat out Keith Olbermann, Whoopi Goldberg, Maureen Dowd, Joe Biden. I mean, my God, Jimmy Carter, John Murtha, John Cougar Mellencamp, Janine, my old buddy Janine Garofalo. I beat Chris Matthews. I beat Eric Holder, Jesse Jackson, Paul Krugman, just on and on. Chris Matthews. I got number 13 and number 1. I got two awards in the same damn contest. How about that? Now, that's in the most, what is this, the most obnoxious quotes of 2009. And I guess Right Wing News is run by somebody named John Hawkins. And then I also got something else, too. So anyway, I just want to say thanks to all these crazy right-wingers for giving me the publicity. Keep it up. Keep doing it. But, that was pretty cool. And thanks, everybody. It was Tom Eagleton who was McGovern's running mate. And it was discovered after the campaign began that he had received electroconvulsive therapy and for depression or something, and for that reason, McGovern dropped him. And also I got a email here from Joe. Democrats in Congress never called for Lott's resignation. It was Bush, well, actually Rove, who drove him out because they wanted Bill Frist to become Senate Majority Leader. Yeah, that's right. So when the Republicans are screaming now, well, the Democrats, no, they didn't. But, of course, we Americans have no historical sense. We can't remember 6-7 years ago. So, Executive Vice President of Programming at Fox, Bill Shine, said in a statement, quote, Governor Palin has captivated everyone on both sides of the political spectrum. And we are excited to add her dynamic voice to the Fox News lineup.
Oh my God.
Sure. Palin said in a statement posted at the network's website, I am thrilled to be joining the great talent and management team at Fox News. It's wonderful to be part of a place that so values fair and balanced news. Oh my God. Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's get them all together. Let's get Lou Dobbs in there, get her and the rest of these freaks. And then when the lights go out, I'll meet one or two of you at the front door of Fox News and we'll roll grenades in with the pins pulled and just pew, that easy. I mean, boom, they're all gone. Right. You got a problem with that?
Of course, folks, Mike is previewing the next episode of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. That's all.
Mark McGuire. You hear about this? You know, I got hooked. I watched Arizona Green Bay game. Wasn't that a son of a bitch, man? And then to lose it, for Green Bay to lose it the way they did, But it just reminded me watching that game how terrible professional sports have become. Not because of anybody that was playing in that that game on Sunday, or was it Monday? Was it Monday? Sunday. No, today's Monday, Mike. Hello. But because it just keyed back into professional sports, so I try to avoid like the plague. Well, Mark McGuire today admitted taking steroids when he broke Roger Maris' home run record back in 1998. He finally admitted it. Now, why did he admit it? Well, because he's entering his first season as the hitting coach of St. Louis Cardinals. And his return to baseball apparently got him to admit it. He said, quote, "It's time for me to talk about the past." Because remember, that statement is kind of key. Because when he was hauled before Congress to talk about drug use in professional baseball, he famously sat there, that son of a bitch, and said, "Well, I'm not going." When he was asked directly, "Have you taken steroids?" Or they didn't say steroids. "Have you taken performance-enhancing drugs?" And he said, "Well, I'm not going to talk about the past. I'm going to talk about the future." Now, all of a sudden, he says, "It is time for me to talk about the past and confirm what people have suspected." Mark McGuire, another great baseball hero who is nothing but a chump, a rat bastard, a liar, a cheater. You think about all the young boys and girls who looked at him as a hero back in 1998. And subsequent years, and the son of a bitch is just one more drug addict. That's all. The hour. We have a couple of crazies on the phone we'll get to in a second. But here in Georgia, let's go from the general to the specific. We have a Republican-dominated legislature and governor and so on and so forth. And like most Republican legislatures and governorships in the United States, they have totally bankrupted the entire state with tax cuts, and then the economy tanked, and also brought about by Republicans. It's really a comedy of insanity down here. But what do they do here in our General Assembly that is just opened today? By law, the Georgia General Assembly only meets 40 days a year. Of course, they can alter the clock. Sometimes they've stayed in session as long as 60 or 70 days out of the year. But as it stands right now, you can't take a gun into a house of God. I guess that means a church, or I don't know, maybe they allow Jews to take them into synagogues here in Georgia. Well, I guess not. House of God. So you can't take a gun into a mosque, a temple, synagogue, or church. But there are bills here in both the state House and Senate that are going to try to change that. We have another one of the freaks down here, a state representative named Timothy Bearden, a Republican from Villa Rica. That's a suburb of Atlanta. He's sponsoring a bill in the House which would make it a crime to take a firearm, a knife, or explosive into a building that has a courtroom, a jail, or a prison. But the bill will remove restrictions on bringing a gun to church or a political rally, among other locations. Timothy Bearden said that his bill's purpose is to clarify the definition of public gathering. That's how stupid they are down here. I don't know what a public gathering is. So I want to have this bill where we can take guns to church. That'll help me understand what a public gathering is, dumb bastards. Currently, the law states that a public gathering includes, but isn't limited to, athletic or sporting events, churches or church functions, political rallies or functions, publicly owned or operated buildings, or places to sell alcohol for on-premises consumption if the business gets less than 50% of its gross sales from food. So what this dumbass Republican white man wants to do is clarify it for everybody and say, well, you can take your gun anywhere except into a prison, into church. Oh, my God, it started already. It started already, hasn't it? Now, the state of Georgia is sinking in under a tidal wave of red ink, mismanagement by Republicans, corruption. The Speaker of the House, Glenn Richardson, the former Speaker of the House, Republican from Asheville, Georgia, wherever he's from, he got caught boinking somebody else's wife or a girlfriend or something. This old lady freaked out. He tried to, quote, commit suicide, end quote, by drinking a bottle of Jack Black and taking three aspirin or something. So they got rid of him, Glenn Richardson. Just crazy. So the new guy who's now the Speaker of the Georgia House, some great big old white man from, I don't know, he's from somewhere. And he's talking about we're going to pass some new ethics legislation here in Georgia. Oh, Jesus. Get Sarah Palin to come down and speak. All right, let's put him on. John is in Pittsburgh, PA. What's up, John? What it is? How's your mama?
I was listening to the show, flipping through.
Yeah, flipping through. You happened to hear me say what?
That you advocate, throwing hand grenades in the Fox
Yeah,
News.
Isn't that a great idea?
Wonder why there's a double standard? Or you feel
what double standard? Rush Limbaugh called for riots at the Democratic National Convention in Denver. What are you talking about, double standard? See, there you go again. There these Republicans go again. These sawdust brain freaks. Get off my television program, please. No, it's television. It's just most people can't see it. This is a TV show, but you have to have a special receiver. Who is that, John Pittsburgh? Why are you advocating terror? Well, what do you do when you have people trying to destroy the country? Pat them on the ass? No. Oh, my God, no. I said when the lights go out, as they surely will, just open the door, Fox News, roll in about four or five grenades with the pins pulled out and stand back. Kaboom! That simple, John. Get rid of these scummy bastards. Mike, you didn't tell us the lines you spoke for number 1 and number 13 for the award thingy. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All right. Where is it?
You have to be a subscriber.
No. You have to be a subscriber to... No. I'll tell you what there. Hold on a second. Let me find it again. The number one thing was about... what's his name? Beck. And about committing suicide on television instead of doing it in his house. Where is it? I'll find it. Hold on. Just wait a minute. God damn it. Just be. Oh, here it is. All right. The 13th place award. This is out of 40. The 40 most obnoxious quotes of 2009. Number 13 was mine. That was. Where is it? Okay. The real internal terrorists are the Republicans. I mean, isn't that clear? Rush Limbaugh is a bigger threat to this country than Osama bin Laden. He's a bigger threat than anybody that the CIA can invent. He's a bigger threat than any terrorist that ever leveled its sights against the United States. Limbaugh is. So why isn't he arrested and sentenced for treason? That won number 13. That's kind of dull, isn't it? But it won number 13. I don't know. But number one. Number one out of 40. And I beat everybody. Beat Code Pink. Beat Gore Vidal. I beat Wanda Sykes. Ow! She was fourth. Here's the number one quote. I have good news to report. Glenn Beck appears closer to suicide. I'm hoping that if he does it, he does it on camera. Suicide is rampant in his family, and given his alcoholism, his tendencies towards self-destruction, I'm only hoping that... See, they change it from if Glenn Beck puts a gun to his head to when Glenn Beck puts a gun to his head. It doesn't make any difference. And pulls the trigger, that'll be on television. Because somebody will capture it on YouTube and it will be the most popular video for months. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, boys. Or girls, whatever. No, it's a boy. John Hawkins? Is that who it is? Anyway, it's rightwingnews.com. And they have 421 users, it says here. Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Any kind of publicity you grubby little freaks can give me is great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. All right, the phones are open, as you could tell. 877-99-MALLOY, if you want to jump in here. Love to hear from you, especially you right-wingers, if you can... If you can just put coherent sentences together. I know you can't. I know you can't. That's right. All right, what else we got? I got a lot of stuff here tonight. Oh, from more religious news, guns in church. And see, here's the thing. Here in Georgia, the Christians here in Georgia will love this. Their response to this bill in both the Georgia House and Georgia Senate to make it legal to carry a gun into a place of Jesus... their response will be, well, of course. What about that doctor, that abortion doctor out somewhere that got shot in church? That's what they'll do. Even though every one of these sons of bitches advocate the killing of doctors who have the absolute temerity to provide services that women may or may not want. So that will be what their response will be. But all the good Christians here in Atlanta, or in Georgia, I should say, will be in favor of this, or they'll keep their mouths shut. One of the two. Oh, you might find one or two so-called Christians say, well, we don't think this is right. They'll be shouted down. This is Georgia, goddammit. Georgia, United States of America, right? Guns in church? You bet your ass. Boy, Jesus would have wanted it.
Mike Malloy.
It's about 22 past the hour. And in Malaysia, you hear about this? Christians and Muslims are killing each other in Malaysia now because the Christians say the word Allah. Firebombing, vandalizing.
According to New York Times, arsonists struck three churches and a convent school early Sunday. This followed the firebombing of four churches on Friday and Saturday. The attacks are unlike anything Malaysia has ever experienced. And according to the report here, the attacks have shaken the country, where many Muslims are angry over a December 31st court ruling that overturned a government ban on the use of the word Allah to denote the Christian God. See? That's common, it says here, in many countries where Arabic and Malay language Bibles describe Jesus as the Son of Allah. The Muslims insist that the word belongs to them. And they will kill your ass or burn your church down. So there it goes again, you see. The Times says the tensions are shaking up a multi-ethnic, multi-racial state that has tried to maintain harmony among its citizens, mostly Muslim Malays, who make up 60% of the population, minority Christians and Indians, who mostly practice Christianity, Hinduism, and Buddhism, yada, yada, yada. Never stops, does it, huh? And that is clearly a case of my God is better than your God. Even though it's the same, isn't it? Huh? Sure it is. It's the same invisible creature. If you use the word Allah, we'll burn your church down. Okay. And of course, the Hindus and the Muslims in India are always burning each other alive. That seems to be the favored sport of the religionists in India. Burn each other alive. Oh my. Jeff is in Phoenix listening on KPHX. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing great. I met you when you were out here with Scott a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it seems like another lifetime, but yeah.
Yeah, it does, because we were still living under the regime then.
Yeah.
I wanted to, I don't know if you remember this, but a couple months ago, did you happen to see that video of when Michael Steele was at some Republican event, and I couldn't remember if they had him speaking or he was passing out gum and paper towels in the bathroom, but either way, they asked him something about attracting more minorities, in particular African Americans, to the Republican Party, and he said, well, we've got plenty of fried chicken and potato salad. And that got very little coverage.
Michael Steele said that, huh?
Yeah, he said that, and that's actually out there. That's a video that's out there.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's so blatant mm-hmm. on the Republican side, and it has such sharp teeth.
Right.
But when Harry Reid says something, and should he have said it or should he not have, that's not for me to judge. But regardless, he said it, and it isn't a false statement. It's something that the fact is that we aren't going to elect anyone who cannot speak clearly, regardless of which color. But they turn it into this racial, nuclear bomb and double standard.
Right.
And there just isn't. It's just not there.
Well, that's, Republicans are so empty and they're so murderous that what else are they going to do? As far as Harry Reid's statement, if you take it at face value, like Barack Obama apparently did, what's the argument about? It's white people who set the standard. It's white people who decided this is how you define, Jeff, and thank you, a racist society. A lot of people say, well, black people can be racist too. No, they can't. They can be bigoted or prejudiced, but they can't be racist. Racist means that you have run the country and decided the laws and codified the definitions and decided, what kind of hair is good, what color skin is good. One thing that has kind of made me giggle a bit is watching white women running around having their lips Botoxed. They want thick thick lips, and I just think to myself, I don't get this. And I don't know, maybe it's not Botox. I don't know. Botox. Oh, it's a filler. Kathy's screaming in my ears, don't make a total ass of yourself tonight. It's a filler. Okay. Well, whatever. You know, all these white women going out and getting their lips. Have you seen, what's your name, Joan Rivers' face lately? Oh, never mind.
Stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Collagen is for lips. Or, Marcus writes from Germany, the fat from the patient's ass. Huh?
Oh, collagen is so... last decade.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Restylane, Juvederm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or Gore-Tex for something more permanent. Only Geraldo's the only person I ever heard actually admit that he had fat sucked out of his ass and injected in his face. But that wasn't in his lips. That was up in his forehead, so he was literally like a butthead. Which I always thought was funny.
And the way white folks run to the beach or to the pool or to a tanning booth to get brown, I don't get it, man. I mean, I do get it. Of course I get it. But it's just the whole race thing is just bizarre. Bizarro. Bizarro. Where were we? Oh, we're right here. Leonard is in Phoenix listening on KPHX also. Good God, we have two listeners out there?
Hello, Mr. Malloy. It's an honor to talk to you.
My pleasure, Leonard. Call me Mike, please.
I know, but I got to meet you when you came to Phoenix like the other fellow did, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I felt like, I'm not trying to butter you up, but I felt like I was sitting with a modern-day Thomas Paine. I was just, my fiancé and I were there, and I'll always remember that.
Well, that's very kind. I certainly don't deserve anything like that, but thanks a lot.
That's why I call you Thomas Paine.
Thomas Paine, all right.
Modern day. But the reason I'm calling also is, you know, you hear all this talk about how they're, you know, now with the new administration in, they're doing so much better for the veterans. And I'm not trying to knock the people that aren't the policymakers in the VA, the nurses and the doctors. There's a lot of good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very nice, beautiful people, but the policymakers, what's going on in my case and many other veterans that they're not telling you is, you know, they bragged about this new GI Bill. The Democrats were going to really take care of the veterans and, you know, take care of their education. Well, what's happening is, like in my case and many other veterans, we're like, they have what they call as a housing allowance to pay your rent so you can go to school, your family's going to be all right. Well, many of us, including myself, we're like 2 or 3 months behind. Fortunately, I've got a very patient fiance.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I had known they weren't going to pay me and keep their word, if they were just going to have photo ops, you know, I would have gotten a regular job.
I'm not real clear on what you're saying. You're going to school on the new GI Bill?
Well, I was until they stopped paying me. I had to, in the middle of the semester, I had to stop going because I, like many other veterans, they claim they're paying. The VA has not come through. They claimed that they were going to have, they send emergency checks. They never did. I've called every congressman, Mike, here in Arizona. And, you know, the sad thing is, I was a staunch Democrat, but after this whole experience, you know, I'm very independent. I don't trust any of them. A lot of veterans I know now don't trust these politicians. You never should.
Right.
In the Army, they've got a saying, "In God we trust, all others sign here."
Sure.
And I've had to go to a Republican. I won't name that Republican. I'm going to see if that person will come through. You know, my daughter, basically, it's a little personal. She's mildly autistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'd explained to her, well, Dad can't take you to the dentist, you know, to get your teeth fixed and all these things. You're in pain, or you can't go to the doctor because the Republicans are running the state and the Democrats who run Washington don't think that Dad can get an emergency check, you know, even if he's, you know, you can't explain these things to a child. So I just wanted all the veterans out there, especially the young men and women going in, to know you got to keep records. Don't trust a darn thing they say. I'm sorry. I believe General Shinseki's a good man, Mike, but you know what? I'm really disappointed in the president. Mm-hmm. I voted for him. I protected him. I've stood up for him to teabaggers. But you know what? He won't even sign letters of condolence for fellow soldiers who died by suicide. I've talked to Mr. Kiesling thanks to Facebook. I got to talk to him personally. So you know what? I'm to the point now, Mike, where I can't afford to leave, but really it doesn't matter because they left me high and dry. I feel like just walking. It sounds crazy. Walking to Washington, D.C. from Arizona and on the way gathering petitions. And I want to prove to myself that this president does give a damn, Mike. I know a lot of people out there don't think that. I think he's a good man. I don't understand. Well, why are all these things going on? But I've ranted enough. And I want to just again thank you and all your listeners. You keep me sane. And I just don't understand though why, you know, I thought when the Democrats came in, they would keep their word.
Yeah.
And they've lied. I'm telling you, they're not doing what they're saying for veterans. But I don't want to complain because there's so many of people out there, innocent civilians getting killed by drones. The brainwashing goes on, and now they want to keep the next young wave of meat to go into their meat grinder. And they need to know they're not keeping their word. And I'm very disappointed in the president because they're not telling you they're not taking care of us on the new GI Bill. And I don't know why congressmen, there are not committees being held finding out why. So. Mike, thank you, and you keep up the good work. And
all right.
I'm just glad that you're out there, and thank you, Kathy. It'll always be an honor that I met you.
Well, my pleasure. Leonard, thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling in. I sure do agree with the disappointment. I'm not a veteran, but I know a lot of folks are, and I've heard this story. Of course, I've heard this story for 40 years, you know, going all the way back to non-vets that came home. But the new, you know, Leonard's right. All these promises that were made, there were so many promises made by the Democrats, and they just didn't have the courage to follow through because they were afraid of the Republican minority. Barack Obama should be ashamed of himself. That's the best I can say about this president right now. He should just be ashamed of himself. The Democratic Party leadership also, you know, like Leonard pointed out, the mess of these two wars is almost unfathomable for those of us who, the 99.9% of Americans who don't even pay attention, except we read in the paper, oh, three more GIs killed over the weekend. Oh, gee, I bet their families are hurting. You know, that's the extent of it. That's as far, unless you're Republican in media, on radio or television, then you exploit the hell out of that death. But, of course, you would never go, and you would never send any one of your family members. But, you know, Leonard's point about these young people who feel like they have no alternative right now, there are no jobs, join the military. Okay, you know, it's a real roll of the dice. If you are wounded psychologically or physically, the VA is not going to take care of you. The closest you'll come to it is under Democratic administration. Republicans just want you all to die. But even the Democratic administration, they're not going to follow through. They're not going to do it. There may be, I'm sure there are probably veterans who are listening right now who are having no problem getting their check or whatever it is they're getting. But, you know, if you're going to do for some, you have to do for all. Or else it's a sham. It's a fraud. You know, when somebody calls this program and says, you know, I serve my country and I have a mildly autistic daughter and I have to tell her she can't do this and can't do that because, you know, this guy, the father, Leonard, is trying to better himself based on what he was promised and getting no help. That to me, that's the worst thing in the world. I mean, where it hurts a child, where it hurts the children. You know, that's the worst thing in the world. Whether it is these little kids who watch their parents go off to war, or little kids who watch the house be taken back by the bank, or little kids who have to be told by their parents, well, I can't afford this, or daddy can't find a job, mommy's trying to work. Jesus Christ. I mean, what, where do we live? You know? And like we mentioned Friday, the financial services industry, the banking industry, the thieves and bastards and rat sons of bitches and Wall Street are going to be paying themselves 60, 70, 80 billion, 90 billion in bonuses. And I just talked to a father who can't get his kid to a dentist. And there's so many, you know, I mean, damn. Yeah, if you're thinking of joining the military, go outside with a hammer and hit yourself as hard as you can in the front of your skull. Try to get your attention and then don't do it. I know. What choice, right? What choice is there but to join the military for a lot of people? There's got to be something else, so don't do it. Because they will spit on you. They will treat you like dirt when you come back. Unless you come back in a box. If you come back in a box, oh, they're all over the place until you're buried. And if you're a man, after you're buried, your widow is going to have to struggle to try to get the benefits that were promised. Your children are going to have to struggle. Don't do it. Don't do it. Jesus Christ, don't do it. We'll be right back. If you catch me at the border, I go visit them at night. If you come around, hey, I'll make them all day. I get one done in a second if you wait. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every step I get to, I'm cooking that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bonafide hustler, making my name. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every step I get to, I'm cooking that game. Everyone's a winner.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Regarding why a government doesn't work, Bruce writes, in almost 100% of the federal government, management consists of Republican appointees, Republican contractors, embedded crazies, etc. Furthermore, the Senate continues to block most of Obama's appointments. The underwear bomber scandal might bring this to light, but I'm not holding my breath. Yeah. I agree with that. But on the other hand, the Democrats who control the House and the Senate and the Oval Office or the executive branch could, for once and for all, make it as easy as possible for people who've gone into the service and come out and expect the fulfillment of the other end of the contract to materialize, to get that done. Ty writes in for Leonard, I feel for your caller, Leonard, and all the vets needing care. Contact Senator Jim Webb of Virginia. He'll take action on behalf of those who have served. Well, there you go, Jim Webb. Jim is in Newport Richey, Florida. Welcome to the program, Jim. Is Jim there? Well, that's completely dead. Is that line open? All right, let me put Jim on hold. Nora's in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I am. I'm here. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nora.
Hey, I wanted to let y'all know, since I got to become a complete news junkie, I was able, about approximately a month ago, to view the event where they announced the change of policy that Barack Obama's administration will start to send condolence letters to the suicide soldiers' families.
Really?
Yeah, and I also did see when they announced that they do not prefer the war on drugs term, and I did hear the announcement when they do not prefer the war on terror term. I've heard everything because I'm able to be such a complete news junkie. Ever since that Al Gore election, it forced me to think, oh, my God, you've got to watch their every move every second. You know what I'm saying?
Who'd you say, Al Franken?
The Al Gore election.
Oh, Al Gore.
When
it was stolen.
I actually had a psych, breakdown and had to go to therapy and get, everything. I was also going through menopause at the time.
No, wait a minute.
Had a complete rage breakdown after watching that election, and then the next one.
You had a breakdown that caused menopause? No, what'd you say?
Well, it was during menopause, but I had a rage breakdown watching that election.
A rage breakdown?
Yeah. Rage disorder.
I'm not familiar with that one. What happened?
You're not familiar with a rage disorder?
I don't think I am. Maybe.
Well, it's just a little bit beyond a Mike Malloy rage syndrome, if you know what I'm saying? A little bit farther removed.
Well, you didn't wind up in the hospital, did you?
No. I just ended up with a therapist, and I got to get on, what you call it, disability.
Yeah.
Therefore, I don't know if you've ever received my paper in the mail. I was able to spend 5 years on this paper about Leonard Peltier not guilty, the untold story.
Oh, yeah. I've got your, I've got that.
Well, I had to write the new chapter now.
Are you okay now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely okay now.
Are you going to go to the Blue State Bash?
And I'll see you a week from next Saturday, not this Saturday.
Right, you're going to be
You'll be here, and we're supposedly supposed to have a warm winter for the rest of the warmer weather than normal.
Well,
since tomorrow.
I certainly hope so.
Starting tomorrow!
Well, good. All right. Well, I'll look forward to seeing you, Nora.
I'll see you, too.
Okay, you take care. Take care. The Blue State Bash, it's a week from this Saturday in Minneapolis. It's sponsored by KTNF, our affiliate there. There will be four or five of us there from Talk Radio. Oh, and by the way, speaking of that, our guest, we're having a guest tomorrow night. Rachel Maddow is going to be on the program, the bottom of the second hour of the show. It'll be fun. I haven't talked to Rachel in a long time. So stick around for that. I mean, be here for that. Crazy Tom is in El Monte, California.
Yeah, hi. Your last guest, Nora, was great to listen to, but Leonard really got me a little disturbed.
Yeah? The veteran?
I'm a veteran myself.
Uh-huh.
And, I get disability and all that stuff. The thing is, that's the longest. I haven't been listening to you for 3 years. I have never heard you go that long and listen to somebody who said they switched to the Republicans for answers. I never, never heard you ever.
Yeah.
And who does he think if the Republicans had their way that he would get better? POWs right now get gentle. Okay. I got gentle. I went to college for retraining because of my disability, and I got gentle. But other than that, nobody else gets gentle. Okay.
I think what Leonard was saying, that reluctantly he's given up on the system, like a lot of us have. I've damn sure given up on the system. No, I completely have. And, the Democrats did make a lot of promises, as Barack Obama did, that simply have not been followed through on. And that's infuriating. Okay. That's what Republicans do, but now the Democrats are doing it too. And of course, there's a reason for it. And the reason is, the people don't own the political process anymore. It's owned by corporate America. They're the ones who decide, who the candidates are going to be, which ultimately influences the election. If you have, two corporate candidates running for the two major parties, you and you're corporate America, you got a winner either way. But no, I got what he was saying. Crazy Tom, I have to leave it there. We'll see you after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. Bruce writes regarding the seeming inability of any of these reforms to come to fruition, all the stuff that's been promised. Bruce writes, Obama and company have been hinting at all sorts of reform in the next budget. The federal budget is where things really get done, and things can happen with only 51 Senate votes. If there is no money for the contractors, for the Republican embeds and other rats, then they're out of business. New programs require new hiring, and then you could see reform. If it's ever going to happen, that's when. Okay. We'll see. Yeah, remember, Barack Obama's been president for 1 year. Seems like a lifetime, doesn't it? We have a report from Prairie 2, our economic affairs correspondent, that I would like to share with you now. He writes, only one bank failed Friday at a cost to a little over $500 million. The FDIC has doubled its operating budget for 2010. And has publicly stated they are anticipating that the pace of failures will pick up. This banking collapse has already cost nearly double what the Reagan-Bush banking collapse did. But there is no allowance for toxic assets in either debacle. The government assumed about $1 trillion worth of bad assets in the early 90s. But was able to unload most of it over time and only lost a few hundred billion in the process. This time, the Treasury and the Fed have eaten some $14 trillion worth of toxic assets and are on the hook for another $10 trillion, and no telling how that will settle out in the end. We are really in a neo-feudal age where the aristocracy is using paper-pushing schemes to separate the peasants from their wealth. There is talk in Washington of beginning to tax the top one-tenth of 1% who have half the income in the U.S. and pay only 17% taxes on average. Needless to say, the ruling class says, we are not amused. So don't hold your breath on that one. Their plan is to drive the standard of living down to a level befitting our third world station now. The really big problem is that they have stolen our ability to create new wealth and sold it to China. Historically, a so-called Great Depression usually shakes out in about 10 years as new businesses establish themselves. Often it can lead to war, such as the American Civil War that was precipitated by the bank panic of the 1850s. More Americans died than in any other war so far. In the Civil War, and the only real winner that time was the bankers. Having been outsourced, we lack the ability to do much but make war on behalf of the oil companies and other multinational corporations in order to steal resources. We've become a nation of mercenaries. We've done that work before, but now there is nothing else. There is money in war if you aren't part of the cannon fodder class. Prairie 2, prairienumeral2.com. Check out his website. Leonard is in Glendale, California. Hey, Leonard.
Hi, Mike. I've been a podcast subscriber since last year because that L.A. station gets hockey on, you know.
Very frequently, yeah.
Listen, I appreciate you playing Coltrane with Duke Ellington. I have that record. It's a great record.
No, I love
that. I was a jazz and show drummer back east until I came out here, yeah.
Well, I love that music.
I was the original drummer in the show here also. But aside from that, I was wondering if you were familiar with this book that I just found, The Secret History of Empire and War, The Imperial Cruise, written by James Bradley, whose father was in the picture raising the flag at Iwo Jima. And the book is frightening because it exposes Teddy Roosevelt's ideas about the white Christian Teutonic Aryans that came out of the Black Forest the only people able to lead the world, and what they, you know, what they did to the Filipinos and all the darker races. Mm-hmm. And his plan was to give Japan, make Japan the eight rulers of Asia by sending a cruise with Secretary of State Taft to Japan to give them the go-ahead to take Korea, which this James Bradley claims that that was the match that ignited the Pearl Harbor, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many intrigues, Leonard, that you and I and most Americans will never even realize what happened, why it happened. All we have are history books, and the history books are always written by the winners.
I know.
And they're always written by the winners who want a certain perspective put out there. So I need to read more history, more immediate history. But thanks, Leonard. I appreciate you checking in. The whole enterprise of Teddy Roosevelt and the Spanish-American War we've talked about on this program, that was the beginning of the American century, American empire. And here we are, 110 years later, witnessing the end of it. Right? Bill is in Minneapolis. Welcome to the program, yes. Bill.
Hello, Mike.
Hey.
Hi. I'm looking forward to meeting you for the fourth time here in Minneapolis. First time was at the birthday party at Nova M. Second time when you were with Ritter.
Oh.
For the forum, and then I was in Seattle. I met you there. And now...
Well, you get around.
Well, my son works for Delta. It was Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very fortunate that I've had a high-paying union job all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get a union pension, plus I have an advocacy. I'm a bowling machine mechanic now.
A bowling machine mechanic?
Yes.
You mean like real bowling?
Yes.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, both Brunswick and AMF bowling machines, and that's quite unique. It's pretty hard to uproot a bowling machine and send it to China.
That's true.
Yeah. So
God, I used to stack pins for $10 a line.
Oh, yeah. I'm close to your age. I'm a little nervous, excuse me, but I'm a Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get healthcare through the Veterans Hospital here in Minneapolis, and they treat me very well here. Now, I suppose it depends on what part of the country you're in, but here,
right.
I'm very satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do hear that. I hear both sides, you know, that the best service vets could expect come from, and they mean that in a complimentary way, come from the VA in this country. And then you hear the other side about people who are desperately trying to get benefits, not just, you know, where it concerns medical care or hospitalization, but actual benefits that are promised to people when they join the military. And this new GI Bill, I don't know that much about it at this point, but the idea of providing education for returning vets, I'm sure it's not the way it was after World War II, when all of a sudden we had 10 million people getting out of uniform. And, of course, corporate America saw that as a golden opportunity to exploit the hell out of them. But the Roosevelt administration had, set the stuff in motion to provide education for people, and it produced the largest class of entrepreneurs this country has ever seen. And, of course, Republicans fought it every step of the way. They didn't want anything for returning vets. Hey, I got to leave it there. Bill, thanks, man. I'll see you at the Blue State Bash. Why you feel the way you feel.
flying monkey free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Mike is in San Diego listening on Sirius. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. I've been trying to call you for a couple of years now.
The phone's been busy that long?
Yeah. You're the pissed off voice in the darkness that's helped me keep my sanity over the last few years.
All right. All right.
Anyways, I wanted to remark on the whole Harry Reid thing. I'm black, and, you know, we recognize that the sort of speech that he was using from earlier years, you know, from I grew up in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. I was born in the 60s, but that thing he said about, you know, light skin,
right.
I mean, that's something my grandparents would have said, something my parents might have said back in the 70s.
Sure.
You know, so black people really aren't going to be all that offended by what he said, you know. The only thing that offends me about Harry Reid is that he's a wimp.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't care about, you know, the whole thing with the skin color.
Mm-hmm.
The Negro speak, well, you know, if Barack Obama spoke street, people wouldn't take him seriously.
Absolutely.
Black people wouldn't take him seriously.
Absolutely. So, and I think, you know, in his kind of white guy way, that's all Reid was trying to say. And of course, Obama got it right away. And I think most black folk got it right away.
I think the only black people that didn't get it right away are the six or seven black Republicans that might be out there.
Right.
Maybe Michael Steele didn't get it. I don't think Michael Steele really cares about that sort of thing one way or the other. He's a sellout.
It always amazes me, though, the way Republicans, as soon as they smell something that might be have a racial stink to it, they grab it like a dog on a bone. And this is the party that has injected more race separation into politics than any party ever, as far as at least in modern times, as far as I'm concerned. So it always cracks me up to see them just go nuts when they think the Republican, white Republicans go nuts when they think they can grab something that a Democrat said. You know, and to compare what Reid said to what Trent Lott said when he had that corpse sitting next to him, that Strom Thurmond sitting next to him, and if you remember that video, Trent Lott looking down at Strom Thurmond, who looked like something that had been in a box, in a coffin. And Strom Thurmond said, well, you know, in my state, we voted for you. And if you would have been elected, we wouldn't have had all these problems all these years. I mean, you'd have to be a brain dead fool not to understand what Trent Lott was saying.
Well, what about, I forget this one politician, but he was talking about abortion. I don't know how race got bought into it, but, you know, that's how they think.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up the idea that if you aborted all black babies, it would reduce your crime rate, but, you know, it's not the right thing to do.
Oh, who was that? Who said that? Yeah, I'm totally forgotten, but I remember when that came out. That was another white Republican, I think.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, my first introduction into politics, as far as Republicans goes, was Ronald Reagan blaming the welfare state on black people, talking about welfare queens who had Cadillacs.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up in a family that everybody worked. Everybody who could find a job had a job.
Right. Exactly. You
know, so that's why I'm a lifelong Democrat, even though they disappoint the hell out of me in most things.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's hard being a Democrat right now. It really is. I have to tell you, Mike, I've given it up. I've tried and tried and tried and tried, and I've just given it up. Hey, listen, good to hear from you. I hope you call in again, all right?
Yeah, you too, Mike. Great to hear from you.
All right, take care. What's this? Haaretz Online, the Israeli newspaper. The U.S. Army will double the value of emergency military equipment it stockpiles on Israeli soil, and Israel will be allowed to use the U.S. ordnance in the event of a military emergency, according to a report in today's issue of the U.S. Weekly Defense News. The report, written by so-and-so, said that an agreement reached between Washington and Jerusalem last month will bring the value of the military gear stored in Israel to $800 million. Stored? The U.S. began stockpiling $100 million in military equipment in Israel in 1990. An American defense official told Defense News that the U.S.-Israeli agreement, the U.S.-Israel agreement, reflects the Obama administration's continued commitment to Israel's security and the understanding that changes in U.S. economic conditions and inflation have limited the weapons available to Israel. It's crazy, isn't it? The deal goes, it goes on to say, the deal also allows Israel access to a wider spectrum of military ordnance, missiles, armored vehicles, aerial ammunition, artillery ordnance. Hi. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Yes, for love. If it's love, it's changing, but I'm changed. And the quality of mercy is my strength. Hypocrites and liars.
The quality of mercy is my strength.
Senators and lawyers.
The quality of mercy is my strength.
Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is my strength.
Murderers and martyrs. The quality of mercy is my strength.
When did your life start?
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Yeah, several people have written in now. It was Bill Bennett, former Secretary of Education, former drug czar in Republican administrations. And now, you know, he waddles on to various TV sets, CNN, MSNBC, wherever he can find a chair, and talking about all this wisdom he has. It was Bill Bennett who said the following, quote, "But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could, if that were your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country, and your crime rate would go down," end quote. He added that this would be, quote, "an impossible, ridiculous, and morally reprehensible thing to do, but your crime rate would go down," end quote. Nice caveat at the end, huh? Thanks to Spilk. See, that, you know, when somebody makes a comment like that, and it wasn't that long ago, I think it wasn't during the Bush years, or was it during the Clinton years? But see, a comment like that, I don't care what kind of caveat he puts at the end. Well, now, of course, that would be a reprehensible. You know, the rancid son of a bitch is, you know, he says, but I do know that it's true. If you want to reduce crime, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down. Well, you could also make sure that every kid, black, white, Latino, whatever, had a good education. You could do that too, couldn't you, you son of a bitch? You could make sure that parents had jobs, couldn't you, so folks don't have to take to the streets to try to survive. You could do that too, but this is how Republicans think. I mean, come on. And then Harry Reid makes some comment that folks in the black community have known forever because white people forced it on them about shades of skin color and this and that. Harry Reid makes a comment about how somebody talks or doesn't talk, how folks talk in front of white people, and how they talk when white people aren't around. That's a survival mechanism. That has nothing to do with nothing except getting over, but also survival. And poor old Harry Reid, you know, he was just talking an elemental thing to him. I mean, poor old Harry Reid, what does he know? You know? And Obama, whether he's president or not, is beside the point. Obama is intelligent enough and understands his own community. He's intelligent enough not to embarrass poor old Harry Reid. He knows his own community enough to know that what Harry Reid's saying is like, yawn, ho-hum, sure, now what are you going to tell me, Senator, that water is wet? Get out of town with this nonsense. But you have somebody like Bill Bennett. Well, the way to reduce crime is kill the black babies. Abort the black babies. Now, I wonder why does somebody like Bill Bennett still get invited to bring his rather ample ass onto television programs to be an expert on anything? What's he an expert on? Black genocide? What's he an expert on? See, he didn't say if you wanted to reduce crime, if that was your sole purpose, you could make sure that people in this country had jobs and comprehensive sex education and an equal opportunity and equal shot at things. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say you could get rid of, for once and for all, separate and unequal where it concerns elementary and middle schools in this country. I mean, come on. How often does Bill Bennett go into a so-called inner city school where the kids are using textbooks that were out of date, you know, 18 years ago? When does Bill Bennett do that? He goes in, back when he was running for president or whatever he was running for, he would go in places like that so he could kiss a little black child, you know, rub his head and get a wish, you know, whatever nonsense of white people. Come here, boy, let me rub your head so I can get a wish. God damn. So Bill Bennett talks about if you want to reduce crime, you could abort not every fifth black baby, not every 29th, but every. That's what he said. You could abort every black baby in this country and your crime would go down. And we have Michael Steele. Michael Steele would have been one of the black babies that Bill Bennett would have aborted. Son of a bitch. And Michael Steele is out here talking about, Harry Reid ought to resign. What? What? It's incredible. People go crazy on this race issue in this country. They just, that's where everything breaks down. Everything breaks down. It just goes out the window. And I have to, you know, as much as I think Obama has kind of put himself above that whole issue for political reasons, I respect the way he's able to move very lightly on his feet when this stuff keeps coming up. Can you imagine being president of the United States? Let me just get this said. If I'm the black president of the United States and I find out that some son of a bitch has said something about my wife or my children, about monkeys and all that, and hanged me in effigy simply, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do if I'm the first black president. I am going to go get some of my bros in the SEALs, the Navy SEALs. I'm going to get three or four of my dark-skinned brothers, and I'm going to say, all right, go find out who did this and murder that son of a bitch in about 30 seconds. That's what I'm going to do. See, that's why I'm not and never would be have any position of power. And black folks won't even let me in the race because I would do things like that. And white people are scared of me. They look at me like, who is this freak? And I get these awards from these right-wing websites about the great. But see, that's what I would do. And Obama lets this stuff just roll off his back because, you know, I guess he understands. He's been black all his life. And he knows. He understands. He gets it. And he's not going to be baited with this nonsense. But you tell me, you go ahead, you tell me, white people, Let's supposing you were a black president of the United States and somebody was talking to this guy. What would you do? Somebody's talking about your wife, your children, all this monkey stuff, and you know, what would you do? Well, so in that regard, I guess I respect Barack Obama's presence, his balance, his ability, and what about his wife? I mean, you know, Michelle Obama, she's got two daughters. And she hears about this stuff, and he gets around, sees this YouTube stuff. What does she do? Does she just tune it out? If she does, that's incredible. Because once again, I know the woman I'm married to, and if she were the First Lady of the United States and were black, she would call on some of her friends in someplace, I don't know, and eliminate these rat bastards. I mean, when you're, you know, when your family, that's an assault on your family. What are you supposed to do? You know, I hear all the time about people talking about, well, you know, crime in my neighborhood, so I need to have a gun. Crime in your neighborhood? What are you talking about? Well, somebody could break in. Well, see, if you're the president of the United States and they're talking about assassinating you and killing you and N-word this and N-word that, and the dumb bastards can't even spell it right. And then this thing comes up with Harry Reid, from several months back. I don't know when it was. It's out in the book now. And you have people talking about Harry Reid ought to resign because he made a racist statement. Are you out of your mind? And Bill Bennett can run for president and talk about if you want to reduce crime, you can abort all the black babies. Son of a bitch. Where were the so-called pro-life people back then? I don't remember. I remember when he said this. I talked about it on the program. I forget when it was. But where were all the, you know, all the people who were screaming about abortions when he said this? Did they say anything? Maybe they did. I don't remember. I don't give a damn. Because it's not about abortions, it's about genocide. And, you know, adding at the end of that statement, well, you know, it'd be morally reprehensible thing to do, but your crime rate would go down. See, why didn't he say if you want to reduce crime, abort all the every white baby in the country? White people commit more crimes than black people. God damn. I can't. See, I'm hung up on this topic again. I can't get away from it. Every time something comes up, like what happened with Harry Reid and all this other nonsense, you know, I just start to lose it. I don't know. I'll try to get some more calls here when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Said that Bill Bennett's job as Secretary of Education was to oversee the elimination of that department. So universal education would not be on his list. He went on to be in charge of the war on drugs for George Herbert Walker Bush. And it was George Herbert Walker Bush who introduced crack cocaine into the black community in order to move more Iran-Contra cocaine to increase their cash flow. This also had the added benefit of destroying a large segment of the black community and launching the private prison system, which has been another cash cow for Republicans. There is nothing Bill Bennett finds morally reprehensible. No, there isn't. He is, he's one of those people who, if you are a normal human being, you can find several reasons to see him as of the same mold as Adolf Eichmann or anyone else who believed in the general elimination of entire populations of people. Bill Bennett is just, he's like Pat Buchanan without the humor. At least Buchanan is a fool. He, you know, he'll make you laugh once in a while, but he's still a Nazi. Bill Bennett is a Nazi, but I don't know. I get sick of it, man. I really get sick of it. Charles is in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Hey, I'm like tripping out here. Like, I'm just really basically around the corner from you. And I have to listen to you on the net. I listen to WKPOJ, I think it's in Portland.
Right.
I'm like maybe 2 hours behind the conversation.
Yeah.
But I've been listening for a while about, you know, talking about Bill Bennett.
Yeah.
First of all, your bumper music
yeah.
is like off the chain.
Isn't that something?
Like, is that Lottie Liston Smith?
I love that music.
Yeah, it sounds like Lottie Liston Smith, a jazz artist.
No, it was, Coltrane.
Oh, John Coltrane, okay.
It's what we were playing at first.
Yeah.
With, and then we played some Lottie Liston Smith.
That's what it was, yeah. I gotta get out my old albums.
Oh, man, that music, I could just sit back in front of a fireplace on these cold nights and listen to that all night. Drink a little Jack Black and just sit there and
expand your mind.
And not do anything. Just listen to the music. It's wonderful.
But you're talking about Bill Bennett. I remember when he said that, and I always thought, like, you know, if he's going to take that argument, I would say, why not abort all the white male babies and the pedophilia rate would go down like to zero. Right?
Well, of course.
Because, I mean, if you're going to use that type of logic.
Right.
Because, you know, but what's laughable about the whole thing is that the media is making a big joke about how what Harry Reid said,
mm-hmm.
and you can count the black journalists that you see on TV from the White House, I guess the briefings to, like, CNN and Fox
right.
on one hand.
Right.
I mean, you know, how many black faces do you see, I mean, that are real true journalists that ask questions to, you know, in the White House briefings and...
Yeah, well, you're right.
About
three or four. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's gone down over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it used to be Max Robinson. You had some really people. And, yeah, this guy, what's this guy, Halperin, who wrote the book?
There were two of them.
Yeah, Halperin was on 60 Minutes, like, this weekend. And I'm, like, saying to myself, the media is, like, talking about somebody... race and everything, and like they're constantly bringing up Obama won the election.
Mm.
He won already, and they're trying to rerun the election already because
sure.
as a diversion to what, you know, getting legislation passed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, you know, being a black person here, you know, the allure of Obama pretty much has kind of worn off for me, although, you know, I was really wanting to get him elected, but
sure.
I'm seeing him as a real...
And let's not forget mm-hmm. that the majority of white people in this country wanted to get him elected, too. The majority of white Democrats wanted to get him elected, too.
Well, they basically were like anybody but Bush.
Well...
That was the attitude. It wasn't really... I think if basically anybody... If John Edwards would have won, you know, but of course his problems would have came up later,
mm-hmm.
but... Bush was such low self, you know, his repute. He was such ill repute that, you know, anybody would have been an alternative.
But well, I think a lot of people who had a lot of hope in Obama.
He had me going.
Right. And
you know.
And he had me going on a couple of levels. But, I just can't. I feel like an idiot for getting all worked up about anybody who makes it to that level of politician.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how righteous they might be in their background or in their intent. Something happens to these people when they get into office. And I don't know what it is. I don't think that everyone who's ever been elected president has been a real rat bastard who is just lying through his teeth. I think that a lot of them were dedicated at the beginning to, you know, bringing about some positive change for this country, and then something happens when they get there. I don't know what it is.
I don't think so. I think people like Bush, I think the first Daddy Bush, I think Reagan, I think they were really status quo people. They were
I'm not saying every person. I said I think there have been a few that really wanted to do some good work, and then they got in there, and either the resistance that they got from their own party, the resistance from Congress, the attitude of the American people. You know, we will give somebody a day to get something done, and if it's not done in a day, we start saying, well, you know, what is taking you so long? I mean, that's just the way we are.
That's true, too, but we also need to understand that they have to be going in a certain direction in order for us to maintain our hope.
That's true.
I mean, like, if you give somebody, like, a job to do, and they drop the ball, then you can say, I'll give you another chance.
Hey, Charles, we're out of time. I wanted to tell you, you don't have to listen on KPOJ. They are behind.
You can,
there's several places. If you go to MikeMalloy.com.
MikeMalloy.com.
Right. There's, and to the links to the Listen Live. There, I think we list about five radio stations that carry the stream us live.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it in real time.
So you're not coming back here to Atlanta anytime soon.
No, I wish, but no, this is, Atlanta's Atlanta.
You're too heavy for it.
No, they're not going to put me on. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for checking in, man.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care. And thanks for hanging out tonight. I'm sorry if I didn't get your call. I sit here and say, call me, and then we don't get your call. I'll see you tomorrow night, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
When did your life start?